For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the second album from Snooper, titled Worldwide. It starts out with a song called Opt Out.
We're sorry. All of our representatives are still assisting other customers.
Became aware of Snooper when you put them on our list to see at South by Southwest in 2023. And yes, they really do play that fast because they were playing that fast live. And I wasn't really sure. I wasn't super into the stuff that you had played that was their recorded music, but it was right before their first album came out. But their stage performance was so fun and energetic, and they had all these props and everyone was getting really into it. And they were such a delight.
Yeah, I just mostly remember their lead vocalist, Blair Trammell, quote, weightlifting, unquote, with this enormous paper mache dumbbell, just before leaping into these manic vocals, and the guitarist crowd surfing while playing guitar, and weird bleeps and bloops, and everything cranked up to 11, both in speed and volume. And it was not a large room for that mid-afternoon set, and it blew my mind in a billion ways. And then when the first record came out, didn't quite blow my mind. I enjoyed it, but it was a first record.
And the second one is produced by John Congleton, who's a very legendary producer and has really developed the way that their sound sounds on record in a way that I think is, you know, miles ahead of what their first record was.
Yeah, and I love here that the sound is so kind of combines this anxiety and joy. Like, it is so energetic and exciting, and also has this feeling of the world is overwhelming me and I'm having to react by this explosion of music and this, you know, modern capitalism. Everything's new and improved. I don't know, it seems the same to me. Oh no, I'm getting more text messages. Just like this feeling of being barraged by modern capitalism is really pervades this. And I think there's kind of you know, if there's a theme to this record, it's just like, oh, the modern world messes you up in a million ways. That sort of continues on this second track. It's called Online. Opt Out, I think, was a nice balance between anxiety and joy. This song is just kind of a paranoid fever dream, locked in your house, staring at a screen, wondering what the security camera is reporting about the real world. But don't worry, that's out there. Just focus on the screen. Focus on the screen.
Yeah, this band has such like a manic energy, but I feel like you have to see them live to really appreciate their whole package, because it's done in such a kind of positive, having fun way. We're just listening to this record. I do think some of it sounds kind of like paranoid and, anxious, which I think is intentional. But I feel like to get the real feel of what they're trying to convey, you have to take it in the context of them just being like a really fun, positive band who has been touring nonstop. I read an interview where they had played like 172 shows in a year, and the props, they really think the props are like essential to what the audience is expecting from their shows. So like when they've gone overseas, Blair Trammell, who's the singer, sources materials in advance and then gets there and like makes them in whatever country they're going to. So I feel like that whole package makes it less stressful to listen to.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say about this record that it's shockingly re-listenable. I mean, when we're doing these shows, typically we want to listen a bunch of times, let these songs sink in and percolate. And this was something where there would be days where I listened to this album three times, and it's easy because it's less than half an hour. And I never found myself going totally insane, which is kind of surprising. But yeah, they're so, you know, in and out. Like it's this anxious, paranoid fever dream, but it's also what, barely over a minute long, which when they're going so fast that, you know, each verse and chorus is 8 seconds and the bridge is basically a few seconds of guitar noodling and then on to the next thing. Like just you'd never stay in any one place too long. I love it.
Yeah. Connor Cummins, who was one of the original members of the band, it was originally just two of them. And now they've since added for this record, guitarist Connor Sullivan, bassist Happy Haugen, or however you pronounce it, and drummer Brad Bartow. But that there were instrumental breaks just so Blair could catch her breath because she's singing so fast.
No, it is pretty exhausting. I'm glad that after this, you know, crazy descent, I think they let themselves relax a tiny bit and the manic energy is still there, but we go into a real sense of humor on the next track. It's called Company Car.
Described as punk, I think just because they play so fast and they're very, you know, they have a DIY ethic. But these are some crazy rock and roll guitars, and a lot of their stuff is just more melodic and fun than I don't know what I typically think of as punk. And if apparently there's some like arguments happening about whether they are a particular genre of punk or not, which is so dumb. And we've been having these conversations for like since I was a teenager, and I always think of the Jawbreaker Boxcar song that starts out, you're not punk and I'm telling everyone, save your breath, I never was one.
Yeah, I appreciate their response in interviews when pegged on this, and it seems to be more or less, well, if that's what people want to call us,
yeah,
we're just doing our thing. So yeah, I love the sense of humor here. And again, that I think it's a nice balance. You talked about how online was too much, but then here there's so much lightness, and yeah, there's still an undercurrent of kind of like living on the terms of capital. Like, oh, I have this company car, but all of the penalties come to me. Like I'm getting in trouble if I wreck it. I pay for all my own gas. So what's the point? What, there's no benefit. And that sing-songy humor covering up kind of the weirdness of living in capitalism, along with when she finally gets the car, she's like, let's go to Planet Fitness, which is, wow, is that really your aspiration?
I've also heard them compared to Devo, and I think they have that same ethic of like looking at the absurdities of living in a capitalist world and doing it with a sense of humor. And that is something that I really like about this band.
Yeah, you know, they were open for Devo to I think rock and roll bowling event.
Oh.
And then they were going to open for Devo at this year's Mosswood Meltdown. The first day they were going to be playing the lineup with Devo headlining, but then dropped out for reasons. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, but you can see that, yeah, they're definitely in that same spiritual universe, mm-hmm. even if the sound, yeah, they don't sound the same, but the spirit is there for sure.
And for some reason now they're not playing Mosswood Meltdown, but they are the only date in San Francisco is with like this 6-band showcase that I don't really understand, that's at August Hall. And I don't have the patience to sit through 6 bands. So I'm really bummed. And we missed them at the bottom of the hill when they played a little while ago.
Yeah, I think back in April. So, Oh, well, shame on us. But yeah, hopefully others can go and experience that live act, because holy moly. So going from here, we go into maybe less humor, but a ton of energy on the title track. It's called Worldwide. title track is where we get the insane energy and the most kind of synthy, where you get extreme, these bloops kicking in heavily, and all sorts of sirens and super drum machiny. And it's fun to listen to this band talk about their evolution, because when they started, there were, you know, their first, they released these 7-inches with no synthetic sounds at all, and then gradually introduced synths, which I noted when I saw them live. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of weird, just mostly rock and roll with these weird bloops. And then Blair Trimble talks about, I bought this cheap ass drum machine for $14 from the used bookstore, and it inspired them to really change up the sound and significantly synth it up. And so it's this, yeah, the synthetic sound that just is both, you know, that I keep running to this anxiety and joy together, and they fit in such a beautiful way. And Miss Worldwide.
There's a lot of synthetics, but it's also very organic. And I love the bass line on this song. I think this might, this and Star 69, I think, are my favorite songs on the record. But it's got such energy that is very ambiguous. Like, it's ambiguous what she's revved up about, but it's, like you said, it expresses like anxiety but also kind of fun. And the bass line has such a new wave feel. Like, if you told me this was like the very beginning without the vocals, like, it could pass for a Joy Division song, you know. So I really like all of that, how all the elements coalesce together on this one.
Yeah, just that beautiful chorus. And I love here that this is actually, you know, there's a lot of these songs are structurally not that complicated, but this one really feel like, oh, there's actually kind of a chorus and a post-chorus, where most measures are first chorus done. Mm-hmm. And this one at least has kind of the supplemental bit of just where she's talking about the pressure coming in left, right, pressure both sides, with Miss Worldwide in the middle, which is weird as you're talking about being crushed in, using this lyric about expansiveness. Just doesn't quite fit, but she's trying to make it work, and it's tough. So we come from here into a song that I think maybe is maybe more back into the humor side of things. I found it a fun lesson. It's called Guard Dog.
Drum machines on the last song, but this song has so much fantastic live drumming, and I love the, you know, it's so noticeable, the little fills he does, and it makes the song so lively.
And of course, the several second long cowbell solo that mm-hmm. we get in the middle of that bridge. And I did,
and dogs barking.
The dog samples are hilarious. And of course, I described this as funny, even though it's very much seems to be about, like, oh, I'm being crushed by the expectations placed on me as a woman. So, it's such a funny, light song. And yet she takes that kind of heavy subject matter and makes it just a complete party.
Well, I think that a lot of the anxiety in these songs is covered with a self-effacing humor. Like, isn't it silly that I feel so overwhelmed by these things? And I think, you know, it's not, these aren't presented in the way of, oh, this is really tough for me and I'm struggling with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But I mean, again, though, if you like, just look at the lyrics, like these, I'm standing here and the cement is coming in and now I can't move because my shoes are stuck in the cement. Yeah. I'm stuck forever. I don't like it here. And that becomes this mantra that just love the shoes glued, adhered. I don't like it here. Like, what an amazing mantra of defiance. And then here, bark, bark, bark. Like, yeah, this is just the voice selling here. Like, get out. But it's too late. Oh, and so again, it should be this incredibly depressing song. And yet it becomes this life affirming, just yay. It's a fun album. And yeah, the songwriting is, surprisingly effective and more deft than you would think when you just hear the songs. It's like, oh, it's just kind of this blast of noise, but there's some depth here. I really like it.
So the next song we'll play is called Star 6ix9ine.
Makes such great use of the drum machines where, you know, it starts off and it builds up with this intense drum machine section before layer. So it's sort of bass, then this intense drum machine, and then the screeching guitars before we go into another kind of paranoid fever dream song. But then in the interludes after the chorus is you get the drum machine at a particular tone, and then they switch it at exactly the same tempo, but just to a different sound. So and then it just each time you're getting more and more into the madness. And I think the first time through, it only does that a couple different sounds. And then the second time through, then they find a third different sound for the drum machine to do. And it's just pulling you into this world.
Well, and it starts out with a drum machine, but then this intentionally crackly and redlining bass that it's being played by a human, but it makes it sound extra synthetic. And I my interpretation of this song, it's about trying to interface with the world mediated through like a phone or some other technology and not being able to communicate out. And it's a really claustrophobic feel that I think is helped along by those weird kind of tinny and tuned up or turned up instrumentals that are at the start at the very beginning.
Yeah, you do get very dark. This sense of someone, my mental health is, I'm kind of losing it. And I like the idea of the simulation headline, like we're living in a simulation and I just want to talk to whoever's in charge and you are not getting through.
And so many of these songs, like the bass line at the beginning of the song, remind me of something else, but I can't quite put my finger on it. But it's, all kind of older, new wave, kind of a dark new wave feel to a lot of the bass and the synths.
Yeah, well, I think it's what a good band should be. It should sound like it's part of a musical continuum while sounding like its own thing and not constantly reminding you like, oh, doesn't it sound like their thing? No, it's its own thing. And I don't feel like there's other bands out there right now that sound like this.
Yeah, I feel like there's nobody that I could say sounds like Snooper when looking back. But that being said, the next song is a cover. Together has such an iconic bass line, but hearing it played so fast and in this Snooper style just totally transforms the song. And I love that they chose the song because the lyrics are so bizarre, but you're so used to having heard this song 100 times that, like, I don't know, the weird lyrics kind of just roll over me, but then hearing them in this context, you really notice how weird they are. And I just think it was a great song to pick as a cover.
Yeah, it's the ideal for a cover, that it is faithful to the original and yet very much like, it sounds like Snooper and no other band. And it takes this song that is sort of the most of a paranoid fever dream of the Beatles catalog, maybe, and then puts their spin on it. And they do tweak it, though, to feel much more kind of unsettling, because there's a lot of, I think, even though the song is super weird, the original, it's still, is resolves satisfyingly. And here the over me often resolves to kind of these, it doesn't resolve. It goes to these weird unresolved chords. So it's in its own way, even more unsettling than the original, but a perfect cover is a nice little treat in the middle of the album. And then we go into the home stretch with a track called Pom Pom. This song is nominally about cheerleading, and so I think it's kind of nice throwback where so much of this record is in its own way kind of negative, anxious, freaked out. This one's, at least on the surface, is kind of rah-rah, and I feel like it links nicely back to the first record where there were a number of tracks about exercise. There was stretching, fitness, and running were three of the tracks off that first record.
I also think it's some element of self kind of self-parody of the fact that a lot of her vocals sound like cheerleader shouts.
Yeah, and then she's even talked about she's very open about the fact this was inspired by the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. I don't know anything about football, but I love the recent docuseries on Netflix.
It's really good.
Yeah, and so she watched it. She was at home trying to work on herself, watch that show, and says, when she came out, I think it's important to cheer for yourself. It's also important to sit things out from time to time and really take a close look at what you're supporting. And so while I think on the surface, the song is this kind of empowerment, rah, rah, there's still a lot of darkness, like pom pom, time bomb, and switching sides, and sort of this like feeling of like backstabbing. And
the documentary is called America's Sweethearts, by the way, and it's really good. It's on Netflix. But the fact that the way that it devolves too at the end, like that we played some of it, but the echo, the vocals start getting echoey, and there's all this noise that enters in, and almost seems like the pitch is shifted a little bit. It feels very like John Congleton influence, but you can see the kind of what goes on in that cheerleading documentary of like these women are really into it, but it's so much pressure and it's so stressful and competitive that they, you know, they develop like eating disorders and they kind of decompensate a little bit. And that's what I hear happening in the song towards the end.
No, it's upfront delight with this, still the sense of like, I'm not quite sure, but it's still, I think, a really nice feel, you know, as it goes, feel good track coming into the end of the album where things, again, I think, swing in a pretty dark direction on this penultimate track. It's called Relay.
Feels so much darker than the rest of the album, but I love the way that it simulates the feeling of being in a relay race. Like you're waiting and you're really focused, and then you're running and it's really fast.
Yeah, that, you know, I didn't really clock this as being another sports themed song when I first went through the record, and frankly until today, kind of in our final prep for talking about it, where because it sounds so, again, anxious and paranoid, and there's that great sort of made me do that like crazy kind of repeated refrain that sounds anything but sporting, but is yet in its own way like a call to action. Yeah, it's great.
I think the fact that Blair Trammell is an early childhood teacher, I've read some interview where she had been teaching like third or fourth graders, and now she's teaching little kids. And I feel like that attitude comes into her music a lot, where you're channeling your anxiety or bad feelings into like something positive and like in a sing-song voice, and it's all great, yay. And I think it also comes across in their stage props and how they present themselves live, and the fact that apparently like there's little kids at their shows sometimes and they're really excited about it.
No, I can see them with their giant head, yeah. earplugs, you know, head covers, yeah. Earring protection. But then, yeah, this is such a level up. Like the first record sort of captured their early development, but this is like, okay, this is us as a band that does records and also tours all the time. And to read interviews with them, you know, they're very effusive. Working with John Congleton sounds like a dream. Like he's the sort of perfect collaborator who just lets them do the thing and then encourages them to be better. But I love this. The best takeaway that they got from it that they said in an interview was, if your music only sounds good when it's played back super loud, it's probably not that great, which is an amazing lesson that this music is meant to be played loud, but play it at a normal volume and you hear the subtleties. You hear that the songwriting is better than you realize at first listen. You hear the layers, the textures, like it's a blast, and more than that too.
Yeah, it's really fun, and the whole album is less than 30 minutes long. All of these songs are super short, so just go listen to the whole thing. So we're going to go out with the last track, which is called Subdivision, and we've been discussing the second album from Nashville Snooper, and it's called Worldwide. This has been For the Record. Thanks so much for listening.
Member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.